What is going on, everyone? It is Tuesday, December 16th, and you're watching or listening to another episode of the Bullet Breakdown Podcast. I'm your host, Evan, here with Aaron. Tanner once again ditched us for better things, apparently. So we're here rocking it out tonight. How are you doing tonight, Aaron?
Doing all right. It's another bullpen night. Tanner needs to be watching the bullpen usage here.
Yeah.
don't want to get the arm worn out too much down the stretch. So
yeah. Overall,
doing very well. 100 days away from opening day today.
Oh, there you go. When do pitchers and catchers report?
I forget what day it is in February. Honestly, I was watching the Hawks score up 2-0 against the
Leafs.
So better times though in that franchise.
Yeah. Well, we've got thankfully compared to last week, we've got two W's to talk about, two blowouts, really.
Yeah, I was going to say blowouts.
Yeah, went over Minnesota last Wednesday, and then the snow game in Mackey on Saturday versus Marquette, where Purdue, again, kind of took it to them. Both games kind of Purdue saw get a big lead, and then kind of I saw a message on the board. It was like Purdue's elite at giving up 30-point leads down to 20 in the last, 5 minutes. But who cares? Almost didn't cover the spread in the Marquette game towards the end, but a lot better than what we saw last Saturday against Iowa State. Although the Minnesota game kind of started out a little slow, Purdue got a lead, but then found themselves only up by 3 at halftime, which I was there and I was a little nervous. I wasn't too nervous, but I was like, okay, this is a little concerning. She thought maybe they'd come out and kind of just take it to Minnesota. Definitely a lesser team, no offense to them, but they hung in there and Purdue made some mistakes, but then second half started and Purdue just went on that incredible run, and it was the under 4 timeout, or the under 16 timeout, sorry.
Yes, and that was actually the 6th straight win against the Gophers. That's the first time it's happened, mm-hmm. I think, since, was it 93 to 99?
I hadn't heard that stat. That's, yeah.
Since winning 7 straight against Minnesota from 93 through 96. Sorry, not 99. But grand take, I think we both thought it was going to be a cakewalk. Even Tanner did too. They play hard. Nico's team definitely played hard, and I think punched above their belt for one half.
They're dealing with some injuries. I think that he could be a pretty solid coach. That's such a hard job. I liked
the previous coach. Guys in state, though, it's not going to be that hard because they produce some talent
they do.
That leaves the state.
Yeah, I think where they have issues is just, like any other team is NIL. When you've got football, hockey, wrestling, you've got some pretty big sports up there that, men's basketball may not be, top tier like in some other schools. But I think he's a solid coach. I think they'll be respectable for sure. Obviously they got a win against Indiana the week before. I think they'll definitely give some teams a run for their money. The Barn can be a tricky place to play. Purdue ended up winning by 18, 57 to 85. Oh, sorry, no, 28. Sorry, not 18. Let in scores. I'm trying to pull up the stats here if they're not loading. Led by Braden Smith with 15. He had 4 of the 5 starters had double digits. Mm-hmm. TKR with 14, Clough with 14. He had another double double. Actually, both him and TKR both had double doubles. Lawyer had 10. CJ had 7. Jacobson added 11 off the bench. Meyer with 5. Murphy with 3. Harris with 5. And Benter with 1. The story of the game is just that second half coming out and going on what was a 27-2 run by the when it was all said and done. Like going up 3 to all of a sudden, you're up 28 by the end of it. Just showed kind of what this team is capable of when they do it.
Well, it also helps when you shoot 63% from the field and
that does. Yes.
And
does
you can't have stops from the other team every mm-hmm. time trying to answer when a team's hitting 63% from the field is you have to hit almost every shot you're taking at that point.
Yeah.
Especially if their defense and you're putting that effort on the defense, then you're going to spend and it's going to be harder to use that energy on the offensive end. So it's kind of pick your poison.
Mm-hmm.
I did forgot that both Clough and TKR had double doubles that game, as well as Braden. Braden became the first player, I think I saw a stat, was the first player in 20 years to go 15 points, 12 assists, 6 boards, 5 steals, and 2 blocks in a game.
Well, they said the only other 2 basketball players who have done that, like put up that type of stat line, like in basketball recently, was like LeBron and Luka.
Yes.
It's like, it's unreal. He was, you could definitely tell, especially the first half. I mean, both halves, but the first half, you could tell he kind of came out pissed off. You know, obviously it was a good response after that Iowa State game. It was just, I feel like the other guys weren't matching it. You did see him get a little frustrated with guys like DJ, on some lobs that didn't connect. I was getting really frustrated, which I was a little worried about. Cause it was like, you know, just like in terms of just, you know, bad body language, that kind of stuff. But if you listen to his podcast, Running Point, with Sleepers Media, he talked about how actually Omer kind of called him out at halftime, and kind of held him accountable of like, hey, like, you know, you're playing hard, but you gotta kind of be aware of what you're doing, because that type of body language can lead to negative results from the other guys. And you can definitely tell he was different in the second half. And I mean, obviously it helps when the shots are going in, but he just was playing so hard. He had some of those steals he had were nuts.
They were. One thing I know he had 4 turnovers, and I think, and I know he, a couple, one lob, I know he blamed Jacobson for not.
Yeah.
My thing is, you're such a good bounce pass, like off the dribble bounce passer. Like, why are we lobbing? I know they're 7 foot, but like,
yeah, it's hard to hit, have a big guy like that go down for the ball.
But he did it with Edie all the time. That's the thing on those
Edie's rolls. Edie's kind of a different ballpark, I feel like. Also, Edie had a lot more. It was a lot stronger than Jacobson could be in terms of being able to bring the ball up and kind of just go at the rim.
Correct, but some of the ones with Clough, I mean, I know Clough's been grabbing them, but I know I'm nitpicking on this, but like, I feel like the showboating a little, like I can do it, so I'm going to do it, instead of like easy, sensible play. I know that game was only 9 turnovers from the team, but I'm like, dude, you were almost I don't know. You had the ball in your hand majority of the time, but if you have 2 turnovers, this is a wider margin.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's all things that, you know, obviously you hope he is keeping, you know, time, score, and opponent in mind when he does some like that kind of stuff. I hope he's not doing that, you know, up 2 on a fast break with a minute and a half to go in the round of 16 or something like that, or something in that round. But
I think you'd have to be watching film, and like the coaches would even, like PJ would have to be pointing that out and saying like, just make the sensible pass. Like,
yeah,
you're an elite passer. You don't need to throw it up and make this play in regards to, like, we're not trying to get on SC top 10 every single night. Like, just make the pass and let's get the bucket and move back. But I get that it's also draft stock and things like that. I know he's probably playing towards on the bottom end of the first round, but I'm like, just some of those things. If you clean that up, I just don't want it to come back and bite.
Right.
But I will say the one thing I did appreciate was Painter afterwards in regards to talking about getting off the canvas in his post-game press conference, and champions get off the canvas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're going to have to do to become a Big Ten champion and a national champion.
Yeah. I mean, even like Brady even said on his podcast too, it's like, you know, obviously Iowa State sucked, but at the end of the day, like, you know, it wasn't a Big Ten game. You know, they've got 2 goals this season. It's to win the Big Ten and win the national championship. And so, like, you know, losing obviously sucks, especially losing at home the way they did. But it's not like it hurt, you know, your chance of the Big Ten title or anything like that. You know, it could hurt your seeding in the end, but it's such, I mean, It's such a long way to go.
That's not going to be a bad loss, though.
No, it's not. But in terms of just like, if you're looking at, you know, if it comes to, like, you know, Purdue and Iowa State are right there neck and neck for the number one seed in the Midwest, like, do they give it to Iowa State because they had the head to head? I don't know. It probably depends on their wins, obviously, in conference, I would think, and other wins too.
I think it's going to be head to head against Michigan.
Yeah. At this point, yeah, they look pretty remarkable, which we can get into just general Big Ten talk here in a little bit. But then obviously on Saturday, Purdue hosted a team that they're very familiar with in the Marquette. And Marquette, definitely not Marquette that we're used to seeing the last couple of years. Definitely not the Marquette team we saw last year where they really took it to Purdue up in Milwaukee, and definitely years ago in Maui. This is a very subpar Marquette team that was 5-5 coming in, and Purdue took it to them. Ended up winning by 20. The score was not as close as it really appeared. Purdue was led by Oscar Clough, who had, I mean, 20, a perfect game. He was literally 9-9 from the field. 22 points, 11 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 turnovers. Only played 23 minutes. Like, it's just the epitome of efficiency. TKR had 10-9. Braden had 7 points, but 10 assists, 5 rebounds.
4 turnovers again.
Yeah, Fletcher had 15, 4 of 8 from 3. They had, you know, Meyer and Bender and Harris all kind of added there. But the other day, they pretty only shot 30% from 3 this game. Really, no one outside of Fletcher shot really well from deep. But it was just one of those things, kind of got the lead and just never gave it back. Marquette was just definitely out. They didn't have any Clough inside. The defense, their pressure wasn't as good as it has been in years past. And, you know, we definitely tell that they're a team that's going to really struggle in the Big East and probably is going to be a bottom feeder in that league unless they can really turn it around.
Trent Morris Portland turn around anytime soon for him.
No. Well, that was, yeah, the stat they showed before the game was that, I mean, in today's world, it's wild that Clough was the only transfer in the starting lineup for either team. Which is wild, like in today's era.
But I mean, we only have 2 transfers on this roster,
right? Yeah, I don't know if they have any transfers. Like, maybe just they don't play, or maybe they're bench guys. But yeah, I mean, I don't really know what to say about that game. It was credit to the fans for showing up in a really crappy weather day in Central Indiana. Great crowd. I actually really enjoyed John Fanta on the call. I didn't know if I would or not, but I enjoyed his commentary. I thought it was a solid game, and definitely a lot better than the previous Saturday.
It definitely was. I mean, Tess was the other guy on the call, right?
Yeah, from the Iowa guy. Yeah.
I will say he's better than Rayfield.
Yeah.
That's... I hate to say it, but it wasn't that bad of a called game.
He had some good stories, and yeah, it was a good game. I was a little worried when I saw who was calling it, but I actually really enjoyed it. That helps too, but
It was not even a contest. I mean, they didn't have any post again. I would say don't have post presence, don't have an answer inside. I mean, even I know TKR was 3-7 from the field, but he still had, what was it, 9 rebounds?
Yeah, well, he's been – that's probably one of the cooler things that we've seen this year is obviously we brought in Clough for rebounding, but Trey's been a beast on the boards. Like, his, like, just sheer attitude of going after it has been really cool to see.
I think it's probably also on a lot of those he's the weak side getting those boards, and he's strong. He's a lot stronger.
He'll be stronger than most people. He go in that position at the 4, especially in today's era of basketball. He had 9 boards. But obviously it sets up. Go ahead.
I was going to say, usually with him being on the weak side, because most offense are going to motion or pick and roll in regards to their center coming out, not a power, like a stretch 4, like coming up. So he's always going to have weak side in regards to where the ball's coming from off the actual rim. So that definitely helps him being the strongest, probably power forward in college ball. Reminds me of Thomas Robinson back in the day from Kansas.
Yeah, I can see that.
Just be interested if he boxes out Carr, because I'm afraid Carr might jump over him.
Yeah, he can jump over about anybody. So I would not be surprised about that.
But I think we both predicted, and Tanner did too, 2-0 this past week. And mm-hmm. think there was much of a contest here. Glad to be 2-0 and start Big Ten play. Mm-hmm. Glad to only got 2 non-cons left.
Yep.
As well, before it really matters.
Yeah.
Every week in and week out.
Yeah. And the two, I mean, obviously a big one on Saturday against a ranked Auburn team, but you know, Kent State is no slouch. They're 9-2. Solid little MAC team, trying to who they've, you know, they've beat Cornell, beat Wright State, beat Austin Peay.
Damn, these are powerhouses.
Yeah. So it'll be an interesting game. That's the last game on BTN Plus, but obviously this Saturday, in the Indy Classic down in Indianapolis at Gamers Fieldhouse, Purdue, number 6 Purdue takes on number 21 Auburn, who are 8-3 on the year. Auburn has lost to number 1 Houston by 1 point in one of those non-con tourneys. And lost to Michigan by 30, which that's no slouch because Michigan's beating everybody by 30 at this point in the year.
They beat back and just took Maryland to the woodshed.
Yeah. They beat a St. John's team. They beat Oregon. They did lose to number 2 Arizona. They lost by almost 30 in that one. So their losses, so their two of their three losses have been absolute blowouts, which again is kind of thing. It's a theme issue that we're seeing is just some. There's been some really good teams that have gotten blown out, which is, I don't know what that says. If that's just an anomaly in this year, but it just seems like there's just a lot of 20 plus blowouts, like ranked versus ranked, which is interesting to say the least.
I think if we get later in the year, I know we're in the second month of the season, but if we see this in January, that's when it's going to be like how much parity is going to be in the NCAA tournament.
Right. I agree. According to Google, Purdue's only played Auburn 3 times, which doesn't.
I thought this was 5 times. This would be the 6th.
That's what I'm saying. I don't believe.
No,
don't
4 believe. Times. Sorry, 4 times. 4 times. This will be the 5th. Because we lost last year in Birmingham, 87-69.
Yep.
And I was trying to look up the history of this.
It says. So, yeah, Google AI, which I feel is wrong most of the time, says their matchup includes a 2001 NIT game, Purdue won, a 1985 NCAA tournament game, Auburn won, and a 2016 Cancun Challenge final, Purdue. I remember that game. The latest game in 2025. Okay, so this is the 5th game, yeah. Google needs to fix their stuff. But, yeah, Auburn beat Purdue Birmingham by almost 20, which it – the game that again, that was a game that was the score was a lot closer than it actually was. I mean, Auburn was up 30, I'm pretty sure, at one point. It was just again one of those absolute slackings by Auburn, a really good team. But obviously, the big news, obviously, in the offseason was Pearl retiring. Now his son's at the helm. They've got a pretty good squad. You know, that was SEC teams, which is going to be another great test for Purdue, going to kind of get ready for the tournament. But I still like Purdue's chances being an Indy. And just again, this isn't a Bruce Pearl Auburn team.
No, it's not. And I think that's going to be the biggest thing is,
yeah,
his son's not. Didn't he work in finance like before, like this?
I have no idea. I know he's been on staff. I know that was the whole thing of like the last couple off seasons when big jobs have opened, like a supposed thing that like I saw a lot of IU fans saying like, oh, like, Bruce claims that, you know, IU is a dream for him, but then people are like, no, like wherever he's going to go, he's going to want them to set up his son to be his errant. Cause he's, you know, going to retire soon. And obviously that ended up being, you know, the next summer, but I saw his names have been linked to a few jobs in the last couple of years. Every time I saw that, I was like, oh, they're like whatever, wherever he goes, he's going to want them to bring his son to take over when he retires in the next. But I have no idea where his son was.
I thought I heard something that he was like working for like a W-2 employee somewhere. That's what I heard. So, I mean, it's not.
There's no shy player, thankfully.
Correct. But there is a Keyshawn Hall that's shooting 40% for 3.
Yep. And they're one of their point guards. I'm blanking on his name already. Pettiford, he's solid. He's really good.
Yeah, I think this is going to be still a tough matchup regardless.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think this is going to be a cakewalk at all.
I know. No.
I know it's a neutral court.
Neutral, yeah. Just like last year was neutral.
Yes. But this one's presented by Bush's Baked Beans, which I think is odd, too. I don't know if you saw that or not, but kind of just random. I think it's going to come down to, hey, they're going to have what we saw in Kentucky. And the guys get to the rim, guys get a great throwing shot. Yep. Can you close those lanes real quick and turn the ball over and not turn the ball over yourself and win the turnover back?
Yeah.
And also
limiting the one shot. Yeah.
Correct. I think that I'll say this about this team. I think that's better than last year's team with Clough and Jacobson.
Yeah.
Because we definitely are getting more offensive boards.
Yeah, I'm curious looking at their season leaders. So obviously assists, Braden leads Purdue, averaging 9.2 on the year. Pettiford's leading Auburn with 2.5, which all that tells me is it's a lot of just solo, just one-on-one rim and seeing what happens, like you said. Not a whole lot of assists going around on Auburn offense, it seems like.
Yeah, it's high screen roll. Can you get to the basket, or can you hit the next guy for an outside shot, and that's where the assists come from?
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally probably flip the play, because I guarantee they're not running play sets. They're not running a motion offense in regards to the cutter on the back door.
Right.
And I bet they're winning strictly by athleticism.
Yeah. This is Keyshawn Hall's fourth team in 4 years.
We ain't here to play school. Overall, I don't have anything to add to this game. You want to just do picks right now?
Let's do it. Yeah, we can pick that and maybe pick another couple games. There's not a whole lot of great games this week, just with it being finals week. But
let me CBS Classic. We can get on that one.
So go ahead and score prediction, play the game, spicy bowl prediction.
I wish we had an over under on this. I don't see one.
I haven't seen one.
I'm going to go Purdue 72, Auburn 65.
Okay.
I think it's going to be moderate scoring. Player of the game, I think it's going to be Fletcher. I think he's probably going to hit 7 threes. And that's going to be my spicy prediction. 2 years ago
against Arizona, he led the team in scoring that game.
Last time going around, he might be playing in Cambridge. Well, unless we get there. Well, no. Sorry, that's a loop soil.
Yeah.
This last time we're playing in Cambridge.
Yep. Where's the Big Ten tournament this year?
United.
Oh. Yeah, you're right. Last time.
Right. I'm going to double check that when you do your predictions.
Let's see. I'm saying Purdue 84, Auburn 71. Player of the game. I'm gonna say Clough. I'm gonna say he dominates the boards again. Another double double. He kind of picks up where he left off on Saturday, and just has kind of a really solid game down low. Spicy bowl prediction:
Fletcher with 13 threes.
That'd be awesome. Spicy bowl prediction. Man, this basketball tougher, it feels like, than football, because it's easy to be sarcastic in football with one.
Meyer has five steals.
What?
Meyer has five steals. Honestly, I'd love to see him out there and see how he defends against an athletic point guard, because we haven't seen
him. Yeah, he did well against Alabama. I'll say DJ hits 2 threes. We'll go there. Not sure that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I hope that's not even in the cards. Oh, I did double did check myself here. Verified. I was right. United Center, March 10th through 16th. So this is the last time they're playing in Gabridge Fieldhouse. unless Mackey collapses and we have to move it.
Right.
Game. So, looking forward to this weekend's matchups on Peacock. For those who are not going, for those who are going, enjoy both sessions. I think we should
get Northwestern versus Butler in the first game.
I got the Cats over the Dogs.
I'll take the Dogs and the hometown team. I know they just lost a good player, though, so I'm not sure. But I don't know. I have not watched any of Northwestern or Butler, for that matter. But I'll take the Dogs in that one. Only other Big Ten matchup that's really worth a damn is, like I said, CBS Sports Classic, number 12, North Carolina versus...
Whoa. You're missing one. Gonzaga and Oregon.
What day?
I think it's Sunday.
Oh, I'm looking at Saturday still. Okay. I haven't got the Sunday yet. Yeah. I don't think that game is going to be much of a game anyways. Number 12, North Carolina versus Ohio State, CBS Sports Classic. Where is this being played at?
I don't know. I hate this thing.
It's being played at the State Farm Arena in Atlanta, Georgia.
This thing and the Champions Classic are the two stupidest things ever.
Yeah.
Especially the Champions.
It wouldn't be dumb if they would just switch out the teams. Like something. Well,
the Champions Classic, Michigan State hasn't won in 26 years.
I think the whole thing was like they were the last Big Ten team to win, so that's why they're the Big Ten representative.
Well, what about the...
I don't know.
Has Shire won a national title?
No, I forget. He has not.
Okay.
No.
So why isn't Virginia in it then?
Exactly. Because also, why is Kentucky still in it when it should have been Florida? Like, it's so stupid.
Florida has three titles.
Right. Because that was the whole thing of like a couple years ago. It was like, oh, you know, they're the last, you know, from the Big 12, ACC, Big 10, and S. Big 10, yes, but like, yeah.
UCLA Virginia used to be in this, right? I thought UCLA used to be in this one.
They might have been before they joined the Big Ten. Yeah, you might be right.
Because they were the Pac-12 representative.
Yeah.
These made-for-TV things are the stupidest things in college basketball. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know who's sponsoring it this weekend. Is it State Farm?
I'd assume it's State Farm Center.
No.
Wherever it is.
Just like Bush's Baked Beans is sponsoring this farce. I mean, come on. Do better. Do better. Television.
Yeah. And you brought it up. Oregon versus Gonzaga and the Northwest Elite Showdown. This game is being played in the Moda Center in Portland, Oregon. I think Gonzaga absolutely puts a hurting on Oregon. Oregon has not impressed me. Kudos to them for playing this game, but yeah, it's being finals week. It is not good that on Monday, Illinois versus Missouri, that could be a good one, that played in St. Mm-hmm. Louis. I think
Illinois. How about Nebraska's win over Illinois?
That was impressive. I was watching that game. I watched most of it. We were doing some stuff in the second half. I watched the first half where I watched Sanford's go absolutely nuclear. Yeah, Nebraska's good, man. I don't know if they're going to. Huh? Oh,
yeah.
This
is the best team they've had.
This is the first time they're ranked in the top 15 since, like, I think the 90s.
I think it was 93. So, you were 1.5.
Yeah, but I thought they were going to let it slip just because of, I mean, like the fact that you had Samford go off for 26 in the first half and they were up and they were tied. Like, I was like, okay, that was like, you know, your chance was to be up like 10 and, you know, try and hold them off. But credit to them for fighting. Illinois just wasn't solid that game. I thought they were going to pull it out at the very, end and break Nebraska's heart. But credit for that. That was a huge shot that they hit at the end. The Nebraska radio announcer was hilarious saying he's about to pass out afterwards. it's a great win for them. I mean, it's not a bad loss. The fact that it's Nebraska, it's a bad loss that was at home for Illinois. Thankfully for them, they have a pretty on paper, a very, very favorable January. So they should, you know, come out of January I mean, you can't really say anything at this point, but on paper, they've got a very good schedule in January to get started in the Big Ten play.
And Missouri, their last non-con, so they have to put Big Ten play.
Yeah. So, I mean, looking at just the Big Ten, which actually we get some comments here.
Yes.
Swingle on YouTube, Spicy Bowl prediction. TKR 25 and 12 game. He's due for a big game. I agree. He is due for a big game. He also says a Champions Classic should be the previous year's Final Four teams or the Power Four teams that won their regular season conference championship. I like that. The Final Four teams from last year, that'd be fun.
Tell Skydance to do Paramount and Skydance to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Love I guess there are five Power Conference teams of basketball, so you just take the highest four ranked teams of the conference champions from the previous year. Yeah. I like the Final Four. I like the Final Four. That's a cool idea. If you do like a, you know, they're like, I mean, like that'd be fun.
But I guess there's already predetermined things and stuff like that with scheduling.
Yeah, it is tough. Yeah. Let's look at the standings of the Big Ten. So right now you've got 6 teams, 2-0. Nebraska, Michigan, Purdue, Michigan State, and UCLA. You got a bunch of teams that are 1-1, including Illinois, Washington, Minnesota, USC, Iowa, Ohio State, Indiana, Wisconsin, and then Penn State, Northwestern, Maryland, Oregon, and Rutgers, rounding out the bottom at 0-2. Definitely not a good start for a team like Oregon, who people thought might could contend in that top half of the Big Ten, but they're off to a very rough start.
Long season still.
Oh, yeah. But obviously the talk of the Big Ten now is Michigan just absolutely obliterating everybody. They've just looked really impressive. They've got size, they've got the physicality, they're shooting better than I thought they were gonna shoot. Their guard play is a lot better than I thought it was gonna be. Obviously it's still early, but you can't deny what they're doing is incredibly impressive.
Are they cheating?
It's Michigan, so who knows? Who knows?
I don't think Nate would be cheating.
I've heard some other things about him, about how he liked being at Michigan because the spotlight wasn't on him as much, so he could get some things done that he would need to get done, versus like being at like an Indiana where where the basketball team is the center spotlight. But from what I've heard the grapevine, that he likes to work in the shadow. So, but hey, he's got a squad, so they'll be a fun game when thankfully we only get them once, and it's at Mackey, so it should be an incredible environment then.
It's going to be loud, and it is going to be insane then. But we got a while till then.
Yeah. So obviously, Purdue's got Auburn this week, Saturday, and then follows up with Kent State on Monday.
Two Mondays. Huh? We'll have another show between now and then.
You are correct. That's on 29th. My bad. Yeah, 28th. It's being Christmas.
28th. It's on Sunday.
29th. It's on Monday.
That game's on ESPN+.
That's what the ESPN app is telling me. So
I got to fact check myself. I thought it was Sunday because it was like Sunday night football. I was like, why would you put this game?
Well, it's BTN Plus, so it's not competing with anything.
I hate this Plus crap. Sorry.
Yeah.
You're all right. 29th. It is on a Monday.
Yeah. And then obviously they start off Big Ten play Saturday the 3rd at Wisconsin. So no students, hopefully. 8 p.m. game on Fox, a late game. Okay. But obviously we'll have plenty of time to talk about that before then. Anything else basketball before maybe we can hit on football? Land?
Yeah, well, there's only one more basketball because it's the Friday night game this week on Fox, Wisconsin-Villanova.
Where's that at?
I think it's in Madison. I feel like I did not come prepared tonight.
The Milwaukee Hoop Show. So I'm assuming that's going to be in Milwaukee.
Like I said, Wisconsin.
It's at the Pfizer Forum.
Madison. Oh, it is in Milwaukee. Yeah, it's in Madison. Made a call.
I've watched a little. I've actually not watched any of Wisconsin. I've watched a little bit of because they played. I don't know what game did I watch of theirs earlier in the year. I think it was a Michigan game. Just kind of seeing, obviously, Kevin Willard back against a Big Ten team. Give me Wisconsin, then, just because they're playing in their home state. They'll obviously have more fans there. That should hopefully a pretty solid game.
You know, Fox is broadcasting it for a national audience, so. I'll say I'll say Gar gets it done as well. In Wisconsin. Well, in the meantime, let's pay some bills before we talk about football. Because I do want to touch on the Shrum War stuff. Because I don't think I've ever seen anything like this. Kind of unique. So, Blue Water Breakdown is brought to you by Mad Mushroom, serving Boilermakers since 93. Mad Mushroom is located in the heart of West Lafayette, is well known as the home of the original cheese sticks. Whenever any of the Boiler Breakdown crew is in town, we like to sit down and have an ice cold beer with the pizza of the month. And this pizza of the month is the Holiday Joystick, which is their original cheese stick topped with grilled chicken, green peppers, peppadew peppers, mozzarella perlinis, mozzarella cheese, and served with your choice of dipping sauce. Cheese sticks are amazing. This I need to get down there and try this because this would be right up my alley. So next time you're in town or online, use the our promo code BREAK5 and get $5 off any order over $20, including the pizza of the month. Tell them the Boiler Breakdown crew sent you. Mad Mushroom, be your head.
Yes, sir. I'll do one after football.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you went to Shrum War, obviously, I was actually driving to the Minnesota game last week when I saw it on Twitter, and was just like, "Whoa!" Like, you know, they fired him, which I mean, we all knew like he wasn't going to last there very long. And I mean, I'm surprised. I mean, the fact they gave him a second year is a little surprising just because of how probably honestly the Ohio State game last year probably saved him from being fired.
I think that and the Underwood thing. I think
taking
Underwood from LSU.
Yeah, that's true.
And beating Ohio State with that. I mean, they lost a bunch of kids to the NFL.
They did. Yeah. And obviously a lot of coaches too with Harbaugh leaving. But then, yeah, obviously, you know, this year they had a solid year. I mean, I guess not by their standards, I guess. I mean, they were, you know, probably a win or two away from probably a playoff berth. And obviously the Ohio State game probably would have gone a long way for that.
I bet if they beat Oklahoma, they're in.
Yeah, that's probably as maybe like a 10 seed. Yeah, that's a good one. But yeah, it was, you know, announced that he was fired for inappropriate behavior with a staffer. And then that was just the tip of the iceberg, and it got real wild after that.
When I literally sent a thing on Sunday night and I said he was in police custody.
Yeah.
I wanted you all to confirm, like, am I reading this correctly?
Yeah, it was wild.
And you both confirmed, and I know Andrew was like, where are you seeing this? Because I was trying to make sure I wasn't.
Which is hilarious, because I put it in our group chat, like, probably 2 hours before that about him being in custody or something.
No, I think you put it in, he was fired, but it wasn't in police custody, because that was...
Maybe, yeah. I had sent to another group chat that he was in. So if he had just seen that like 2 hours earlier, but
yeah. Okay. But he got arrested for breaking and entering.
Yeah.
I'm another staffer's house. I'm guessing that probably was the whistleblower in this case.
It was her. Yeah, it was her house.
Oh,
yeah.
It was her
or her apartment or whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Allegedly he broke in and he was threatening to hurt
kill
her
himself
and, or yeah, hurt himself. For ruining his life. That was allegedly. It was like, okay, let's take some personal accountability here, dude.
But then to see him in the set, like,
yeah, that was a wild image. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that was on Friday. Cause my last Friday of last for me was pretty bad because I had some car issues. And I was talking with one of my coworkers, like, man, I thought my last Friday was bad. Not this bad.
you know, you think about, like, and I don't know what his sentence is. I don't know when his sentencing is.
I doubt he'll see any time, in my opinion. I mean, I don't mean.
He might see community service.
Oh, yeah. But I don't think he'll see a jail time.
I mean, in a restraining order.
Yeah.
But I don't think he'll ever coach college football again. I think he's got to go to the NFL, and hopefully Harbaugh hires an assistant.
Yeah, I would be shocked if he's coaching at like any high level within 5 years.
I think he's probably an assistant on the Ravens staff, on that staff, not the Chargers staff, on the Ravens staff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just wild. I mean, obviously you kind of knew, which then you get into the whole, like, you know, obviously you know, you dive deeper into the everything that Michigan's been up in the last 5 years and just how shady things have been. And I'm shocked Ward Manuel hasn't been fired as their athletic director yet, just from all the crap that's been going on over the years with them. And it's just feeling like it's just one thing after another. Yeah, I'm curious to see who they hire. Obviously they're late to the game, but they've got the coffers to make a big splash. The names have been thrown around were, I mean, I know like Joe Klatt's like make them say no list was like Marcus Freeman, Kurt Cignetti, Kalen DeBoer.
They were close to hiring DeBoer the last time with Harbaugh.
Were they? Was that who? Okay. Yes. I didn't know that. excuse me. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Dillingham from Arizona State.
Is he going to leave his alma mater?
He's been like weird about some of the questions that they've been asking him. It's just like, it's just weird vibes. It's all I'm going off of is just the weird vibes.
I did see that. I would think Kalen DeBoer if he loses on Friday night. And we can
play. Yeah. I mean, he did come out and say they make some sort of statement of like he's not going anywhere. But yeah, I mean, who knows if they do lose Friday night if that changes things? Who knows? I know the assistant on the Chargers who was Harbaugh's coordinator at Michigan. That's a name that's been brought up.
Oh, the DC?
I think so, yeah. I can't remember his name.
OC's Greg Roman.
Yeah, not him, yeah. He's the one. I saw some people say they should go get his brother from Baltimore. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Because obviously, yeah, like they're, you know, they miss, which could all, I mean, based on what they do, it could set off, you know, some major dominoes if they do get a Kalen DeBoer, they do get someone high profile.
I think what they should do, and I know Tanner says he's overrated, but I do think Underwood's probably going to be a first round pick eventually.
Yeah, under the right coach, yeah.
There's too much raw talent there. It's
if
not
he goes like an LSU. If he goes like an LSU, yeah, he'll be under Kiffin. He'll be stupid.
Well, here's where the caveat I would think is the Dillingham thing. Just, he only had 1 year that he was good, though. That's what just
he's been solid, but like I think it's more of like what he's done at Arizona State with, you know, it's definitely not like, I mean, kind of doing more with less sort of thing. Like imagine what he could do with.
Sometimes that doesn't pan out.
You're right. You're right. I agree.
I mean, Billy Napier.
Yeah.
I mean, case in point, every head coach of Florida, I feel like, outside.
Yeah.
I know it's ridiculous, but this screams Brian Kelly.
No, I don't think. I don't think
they're going to. You don't have to get paid. You can have the assistance you want. You were the second lead runner-up to Underwood.
Yeah. I'm not saying he wouldn't take it. I just don't think they're going to sniff at him. Unless everybody turns him down.
He was in Michigan for a long time. He was at Central Michigan.
Yeah. Isn't he from the East Coast?
He's from the East Coast, but he's been he was in the Midwest before he left Notre Dame for a long time in that like triangle area between
Michigan, Cincinnati. Yeah.
Yes. Cincinnati and northern part of Indiana. He knows that area. Like this to me, just like, especially since LSU's paying him that, like this screams like, and you know he's not going to lose more than three games,
right? Yeah, I think he would take it in a heartbeat. I just don't think they're gonna.
I think unless it's like heaven. Scummy.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You are not wrong. It'd be.
Scummy that though it does right.
Yeah, right. I said we always like talk about, you know, like you have these, you know, massive matchups like you know, Michigan, Ohio State, Duke, North Carolina basketball, like where like everybody like they're not fans of the team, but usually always have the team that they want to win. I think for the longest time I was always pulling for Michigan until Urban, especially when Urban Meyer was there. But once Meyer left, I've been like I went Ohio State to win, which feels gross. If Brian Kelly went to Michigan, oh my god, it might be one of my least favorite teams of all time.
The thing is, it would be least favorite. I'm not going to lie. It would be horrendous. But all the trouble that they've had under this Harbaugh lineage, since Harbaugh was there with Stallions and everything, Brian Kelly doesn't have any of that.
Yeah. And it might be better for him too, because he can't golf in November in Michigan like he can in Louisiana.
Well, that, and he doesn't have to fake a Southern accent. He knows that. Right.
He could fake a Uper accent.
I mean, it just, to me, this screams like a John Beilein kind of hire.
Is Kelly a John Beilein hire? Like, is that the right parallel there? I mean, he was at West Virginia before he came to Michigan. I feel like you could. That's, I feel like it's more of a Dillingham thing. Is that's the John Beilein hire?
West Virginia still has a good basketball program,
even right
after Beilein and Huggy. Now they're not. I mean, DeVries, they should have got in last year. I will say that, but now I haven't seen what they look like this year since DeVries left them. But to me, this just screams match made in heaven, especially since he can defer that comp.
Yeah.
And I think they play Notre Dame down the road here soon. I'll look that up right now while you're looking up in West Virginia right now.
They're 8-4. They're fine. They've lost. They lost to Xavier, lost to Clemson, lost Ohio State in double overtime on Saturday. I was actually watching that game. I always give Bruce Thornton crap because I feel like every time I watch him in a clutch moment, he always messes up, and he actually had a really good play on Saturday for the win. So credit to Bruce Thornton finally getting it done.
Okay. The Brian Kelly will probably be retired by then, but the it resumes in 33.
33? Jeez. Yes.
He might, that might be the last go around for him. Do an 8-year deal, 6-year deal. I mean, take until he's 70.
Yeah.
I just don't see how it's not him. I understand it could be an NFL person. I think the biggest domino I think that could fall would be Freeman. If he does end up going to
the I would think it's DeBoer. I don't think Freeman's leaving for anybody except Ohio State or the NFL.
I think it's the Giants job.
I don't know.
I wouldn't want that job with 10-foot
pole. I wouldn't want that job either.
I don't want any deal with any stress. But if you think it's DeBoer, I just think depending on what happens with
I would think it's DeBoer before Freeman if for that job. Yeah. I don't think it's gonna be DeBoer. I don't think.
Yeah. I just don't see him leaving Alabama unless they run him out of town after
Friday. Let's say. So, now, if they get blown out on Friday, then they'll might change my mind. If they get kind of dog walked, then maybe that changes things. They might sign the contract for him.
And ask them to come out of retirement.
Yeah.
That would be interesting if that does indeed happen.
Yeah. Speaking of playoff, let's go ahead and pick some of these playoff games since we've actually got.
Do we want to talk about our transfer portal?
Anyway, we got Singleton's gone. Purvis put his name in the portal.
Oh, no. Yeah, I was going to say, Purvis is the big one. I know you had that. We had that backup linebacker.
Winston Berglund. Yep. Yeah. Carmel. Yeah.
No, I thought Davis went in.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Yeah. Obviously, the big news was running backs coach was let go. So they're moving Cornell Ford from receivers to running back more than likely. Promoting Bilal Marshall, former Purdue wide receiver, to the wide receiver coach. Got rid of Coach Vance on the offensive line, which is interesting. That was definitely surprising. They brought in a guy, I'm already blanking on his name, a young guy from Fresno State?
No, USC.
Oh.
I thought it was USC. No, they were at USC, I thought, together. Let me look this up.
Yeah.
Continue talking.
So obviously a new offensive line coach, you know, so I think sounds like Vance and Henson maybe didn't see eye to eye. I know Henson has been an O-line guy before, so there's probably could have been some friction there. And it sounds like this new guy has worked with Henson before. So you wonder, I don't know. I mean, there was so much that went wrong in the season that it's hard to pinpoint it on one guy or one position. But
there's already...
Go ahead.
He was at Fresno. It's Zach Crabtree. He was at Fresno State last year.
Okay, it was Fresno State. Cool.
You were at, but he was under Henson at USC the year
prior. Yes. There's some familiarity there, so we'll see if that helps anything. I don't know.
That QB power is going to look real nice. real nice on third and two. Now that we have a solid communication, vertically integrated.
With Garrett Odom taking the snap, Sixers gone.
Is he a runner?
I don't know. Probably not, but why not?
I always thought it would have been Chuba, if anything.
Really throw him off the scent.
I say just leave Brown in there. Whatever happens, happens.
Well, do what I saw what Steelers did last time. They put like a tight end at quarterback and just had him just run it. Screw it. Just
we don't have tight ends, so we can't
that's,
do
that's
it.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
I mean, you can put Tuggle back there.
Just grab someone off the D-line or something.
Oh, yeah, put Charles Correa back there. No one
will there you go. Out. Yeah, there you go. but there's been a few transfers trickle in or trickle out, I guess, or at least put their name in, or with the intent to put their name in the portal. They can't obviously officially go in until January. The ones that have kind of stung to see have been Hank Purvis on the line, Harkless. Yep. That was a big one, I think. That'll be the biggest one so far. Winston Burgum was, you know, backup linebacker. Backup block snapper went in.
We got Roe.
We do. Yeah. Yeah.
Flawless is what Tom says.
So we'll kind of see what happens there. Obviously, we still have a couple weeks before that thing really kicks off. We'll see if there's any more staff changes.
We're 2 weeks away from it. We're 2 weeks from the portal opening. It's January 2nd. Wow. So
yeah. It's crazy.
I'll be interested to see. I think we might be encroaching double digits now.
Yeah.
But I think our over-under of 30, definitely not going to be over 30 unless there's a mass exodus after finals week.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, let's pick some. We got four college football playoff games this weekend. First one is on Friday night, 8 o'clock Eastern on ABC ESPN. You've got number 9 seed Alabama at number 8 Oklahoma. I think Alabama is like a 1.5-point favorite, if I read that correctly. I'm going to switch apps here to figure that out.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a raucous. Venables definitely saved his job this year. That's for dang sure.
Yeah.
Don't like this as an SEC. I don't like that. Pretty much all of them outside of Oregon are SEC home games.
Yeah. Alabama's a 1.5-point favorite. Yeah.
Okay. Don't like this as an SEC matchup, but whatever.
Yeah.
That's what the committee had bias this year on this. Give me Bama on this one. I know Oklahoma beat them in Bama, but I think Bama's going to probably – DeBoer wants to save his job.
Yeah. And winner of this game plays Indiana in the Rose Bowl on January 1st. I like Oklahoma's defense, but I know their QB's kind of been banged up a little bit. So that's ever probably the biggest.
He got hurt. Yeah, he's not been.
Yeah, good. So I think I'm going to take Bama as well in a close one, and hope they can get it done out west. But I don't have not get my hopes up. Saturday at noon on noon Eastern, number 10 seed Miami. Goes to number 7 Texas A&M, who is a 3.5-point favorite.
These are two inconsistent teams.
I agree. I don't trust Carson Beck, so I'm going to take A&M, especially being at home. That defense is pretty stout. I'm going to say they cover. I'm going to say they win by about 10.
I saw a stat of like turnovers by starting quarterbacks this year. Him and Beck and Reed are the two highest of the 5.
Yeah.
So this. But the problem is they got Bain. I think Bain is the real deal in the defense line for Miami.
Yeah.
Give me the Canes in this one. I think they're going to upset.
Upset. Okay. Two upsets.
Also, I think the X factor in our last game is going to be our old friend, Mr. Burks.
Yeah, that is true. I always forget about him. 3:30 on Saturday, Ole Miss takes on Tulane. Obviously, the story of this game is the fact that Lane Kiffin is no longer there.
And Summerall is still coaching.
Yes, he is.
And he donated part money to Tulane this week, I saw.
Oh, did he? That's cool.
Yeah.
Good for him.
So, give me the green wave.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Ole Miss is a 17.5-point favorite. Love it. I'm going to take Ole Miss in that one. I don't think they cover. I'm curious to see where their head's at.
I don't think their head's in it. I think Summerall's head is in it.
Yeah. We'll see.
That's a private school. They've got this biggest event. I mean, that wave is going to go over state lines.
I wish we had Tulane is in Louisiana. But yeah, and then finally rounding out 7:30 on Saturday, James Madison, number 12 seed, takes on 5-seeded Oregon, who is a 21.5-point favorite. Shout out to James Madison's social media team. I'm not sure if you've seen what they've been doing, but they've just been trolling Oregon in the most hilarious way. Just knowing that like this is probably their one shot to be in this thing. They've been hilarious. It's been awesome. But that being said, I think Oregon absolutely destroys them.
Quack, quack. I think they cover, and I think it's
Chesney's still coaching in this one, isn't he?
Yes, Chesney is.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably heading down to L.A. after this.
Yeah, just top of flight down there.
I think I would not be surprised if Oregon wins by 40.
Yeah. I'm curious to see where this – obviously Oregon – they snuck by Penn State. As granted, before Penn State was the bad Penn State. Obviously, they got kind of handed to them by Indiana at home. Respect for them after that. but followed ever since. And it's hard to doubt Dan Lanning.
I've actually been thinking about this since it's a coast-to-coast trip. Do you think James Madison flew commercial? Or do you think they took the bus?
Oh, God. I don't think they took a bus.
I mean, do you think they took a Greyhound out there? I'm actually curious.
I would hope, that's the East Coast school, isn't it, James Madison?
Correct, because they literally just became Division I 2 years. Before it was actually when Cignetti left.
Yeah.
Or IU. My concern is, do they have the athletic funds to actually?
I would hope they have some donor who hit the jackpot and can charter a flight for them.
Do you think Sig did it?
No.
I'm actually curious because I'm like, man, they just became Division I. Like FBS, not FCS, I should say.
Right.
So are they literally taking commercial flight, or they literally hopping on a Greyhound bus?
I bet they have the funds to get out there.
Anyone that's listening that may know this answer, hit us up on Boy Breakdown Social. We're very curious.
One of us is really curious.
All three of us are very curious.
Obviously, yeah, the Heisman Mendoza won, which wasn't really a surprise to anybody. I was actually surprised at how much he won by. I was actually pretty surprised that Saiyan was like fifth. Mitch Mellon. Yellow school bus. Which, that's good. No seatbelts.
Carrying their pads with them.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. That was good. Yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah, Heisman Mendoza won. Just making this even worse.
I don't think that made it worse this weekend. I think the 60 minutes piece made it worse.
I didn't even watch it. I couldn't bring myself to do it. So,
is there anything else you want to talk about the Heisman? No.
I was just surprised that Saiyan didn't get more first place votes. Pavia was
Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith.
Huh?
He has Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith.
Yeah.
He's throwing two. And Max Clair. I'm sorry. I understand. If he would have won the Big Ten championship, he would have won the Heisman.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. Which is why it surprises me that it was because the whole talk was that whoever won the Big Ten was going to win the Heisman more than Lex. So I'm surprised that it wasn't more neck and neck, anyways. But yeah. I mean, Saiyan didn't look good that game anyway. So I guess I shouldn't be too surprised. But.
I was surprised Jeremiah Love wasn't second. That was my biggest shock.
Day, I would agree. I thought it was gonna be closer than it really was. But hey, Brett Mendoza, he's not a hateable guy. He seemed like a really funny and chill dude. Obviously, he's just a giant nerd, so he's obviously done what he's done. So great to him. Yeah.
I'll quickly touch on the 60 minutes, and we can wrap tonight's show up. So if you don't, you can check it on our YouTube channel, 60 Minutes. There ain't a special about IU in regards to talking with the athletic director, school's president, and also John Cougar Mellencamp.
What? Was he on that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Go watch it. No, I'm not.
it's actually pretty good and eye-opening. And it just makes me be more angry at ours.
Yeah, that's why I don't want to watch. That's mostly why I don't want to watch it. Is more pissed off.
I know they're spending money in regards from the school's dollars and state tax dollars, like state dollars that are given to them. I get it. But you hear like John Mellencamp spend. It's like, holy crap.
What did he spend?
Well, he built the practice facility in the early 90s. I don't know if you knew that. I didn't know he funded the entire thing.
No.
I was blown away when he said that, and I looked it up. And I was like, oh my gosh, he did it. He did pay for it.
Wow.
Because he thought it would lead to better recruits, and never did.
Didn't even go.
It didn't go there. Now football spending has become basketball has become an afterthought of football in regards to spending.
Which is crazy.
Mellencamp still has a spot on top of the press box up there that he could smoke. and that shows him smoking during a game.
That's funny.
But they talked in regards to Cignetti and like they wanted to win.
Yeah.
And they didn't, and they wanted an offensive minded coach, and they didn't care any other preferences. And when they found Cignetti, they said he didn't meet any of the criteria of like the hot young offensive or creative mind, i.e., sorry, Babinski, but what he thought of Ryan Walters, which still I think he's going to be a great coach one day. But he wanted a guy that had a consistent winning track record. Cignetti had that. And Cignetti talks about also in the piece, he hated the energy and how the place looked like it was straight out of the 80s and there was lack of funding and stuff. And he wanted that to change. And I think he's done it.
It did. Yeah. It's been pretty remarkable. I mean, there is like probably one of the, it's hard to argue, not the best coaching turnaround ever in college sports. I mean, going from the worst
school. Modern.
Yeah, that's fair. Yep.
I will say that hearing that they spend $60 million and it was said in there that they do, and they're going to continue to find that money moving forward, they said, makes me like be more irritated that we're probably only spending maybe 20.
I bet we're spending more than that. It seems low, honestly, for a Big Ten school. When you factor in like salaries, travel, all of that crap, 60 just feel like I want to see like what Ohio State spends, like, which is even crazier. It's like they've been doing what they've been doing with not spending top dollar, which is impressive in its own right. But
well, they're fine.
I think people are spent buying money, spent it in really crappy ways.
Time will only tell if Barry's the right guy that they spent it on. And honestly, the time will tell next year. If we go 5-7 next year, I'm going to be in disbelief.
Yeah.
But it's a very interesting piece. Regardless if you hate IU, it's if you just see the numbers and their thought process behind it. I don't know if our athletic leadership has this, and also leadership at Purdue, they haven't come out and talked about it to the greater alumni base or fan base like this.
Yeah.
So, lack of transparency, folks.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
But good piece, and it probably going to help with recruiting somehow.
I'm sure.
It's going to be bad when they start getting 5 stars in there, and we got a 3-star JUCO from that played at Akron and now is going to be our stud tight end.
Right.
That played fullback at Akron. Anyhow,
well,
let's play our last sponsor.
Yeah, we got the shop. Excuse me. Bringing Hometown Apparel to the fans since 2011. Started out in their garage, and they've got three retail locations. So if you're coming to Indy for the Indy Classic this weekend, make sure you stop on by. They've got one in Carmel, one in Broderpool, one in downtown Indy. So if you're around the area, feel free to stop in. Great people, boiler owned. But if you're shopping online, some very, very, very last minute Christmas shopping, you can make sure you use the promo code breakdown for free shipping. That's if you go to theshopindy.com. I'm wearing one of the things that came out with last year, the Script Purdue. This is like it's a very comfortable hooded sweatshirt. It's probably the most comfortable thing that I own. But they make great stuff. They're always running deals, right? Especially right now with Christmas, they're running deals about every day on different categories. But I think today was kids' clothing. They're running at like a 20-25% off on all that. So check them out. All things Indiana sports related. A lot of Indiana colleges, just all things state of Indiana, which is we're glad to have them on board again. We want to thank everybody for checking us out today, listening, participating. We appreciate it. Follow us on Facebook, or like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, Twitter at Boiler Break Pod. We'll be back again. Should be back next week for the Christmas holiday to recap, hopefully a Boilermaker win on Saturday against the Auburn Tigers on the hardwood in Indianapolis. With that,
and if you have any information about the JMU travel
situation, hit us up. JMU's travel schedule.
We don't want the travel schedule. We just want another accommodation.
their mode of transportation. There you go. Boiler up, hammer down. We'll see you next week.
Boiler up.